Assault.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning here on Thursday morning, the 30th of August, 2018. Man, I don't know where time goes. My wife and I, we were awakened early this morning. Some deer outside our window, I think, was about to get mauled. It was the most unbelievable sound. Michelle woke up and said, "What is that?" And I don't know what it was, man. And I kept waiting for the coyotes. Yeah, we kind of live out in the country like that, you know, so you hear those animal sounds. That was kind of an eerie one. See, that's why you know you have the heart of the Lord inside of it, because Michelle and I both laid there listening to that deer. I believe it was probably a fawn, I'm not sure, cry out. And I was afraid that soon I was going to hear the coyotes and it wasn't going to be a pretty sound. And there was something inside of me wanting to go rescue that deer. Why don't we feel that way about babies? I wonder, unborn baby. If we could hear their silent scream, why are we not? Why would I be moved at 4:45 in the morning to get up and get my gun and go out and try to do something about that deer? Whether it be put it out of its misery, or I mean, I could have been eaten by, and yet we don't care about an unborn baby. Crazy, isn't it? We're crazy creatures. I was thinking. I want you guys to know this. I got an email yesterday. Somebody said, "Man, Coach, how do you come up with topics every day?" And I thought, what a profound question. I don't know. That's the working of the Holy Spirit. I say that every time somebody asks me that. You don't understand. I have a list of stuff that I'm prepared to talk about if we have to, but we probably won't get to most of it. Because I believe that my very steps have been ordered by the Lord and he delights in my way. I believe that I'm going to be brought before governors and kings as a testimony against them and the Gentiles. I should think not what I shall speak, but shall be given unto me that same hour what I shall speak, because it's not me that speaks, but my Father that speaks through me. So I don't take credit for anything here. I'm very, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm very humbled by the gift the Lord has given me. But I want you folks to understand that God still speaks. Still speaks through people. He moves through people. And all I can tell you is try to tighten up your tuning fork to be able to hear the voice of God. That's really what it is. And you know something? The Lord wants to get the truth through you more than he wants to get it to you. Man, thank you, Holy Spirit. The Lord wants to get the truth through you more than he wants to get it to you. And we're in the mess that we're in because we have not been good communicators of the truth. We haven't been. We haven't. We fight among ourselves. We have our own agendas. This is more important. I'm focused on this, and this is more. I'm saying me. I read all the stuff on the internet, stuff people put up there, and sometimes I say, what a bunch of crap that is. But to them, it's most important thing in the world. It's funny, I have flipped today to 1 Corinthians 12. We're not going to go there yet, but it's one body, it's many members, and every body is just as important in every gift. See, we like to worship gifts. We like to chase after gifts rather than the gift giver. That's why people become famous. That's why religious leaders become famous, because we see their gift and say, wow, that guy is really special, when he isn't really special. He isn't. And one of the biggest battles that we have is this hero worship that we see in Christianity. And dare I say it, some of you worship your pastor. Sorry, he ain't always right. He may be your pastor, but he ain't always right. And I'm going to tell you this, there's something wrong with you. If you are a grown man and you need another man to give you direction all the time, there's something wrong with you. If you're a grown woman and you're able to read and you can get into the Word of God, and you have to go to some pastor to feed you all the time, there's something seriously wrong with you. Now, that's what I brought up yesterday, and I wasn't trying to offend anybody. And if you were offended, I'm sorry if you were. I'm telling you this. Some of you listening, now stop it right now. Quit taking it personally. I'm not talking to you. Now, if the Holy Spirit is poking you in the chest because of something I say, then you listen to the Holy Spirit. It ain't me. Because right now, I ain't talking to you. I'm just talking, all right? And I said yesterday that a lot of you who are watching aren't even born again. And I got some emails. I'm just telling you what it is. See, some of you have a mental ascension to being saved. A mental, I was in church. I got confirmed when I was 12, and did my first communion. I did that. I went to Sunday school, and I went to church camp. Just kind of all the way along. Really? Do you have a birthday? An actual day that you were born, or did you just kind of all of a sudden happen to, it just kind of gradually happened? Do you have a day when you can look? I don't remember the day I was saved. I remember being saved. I remember that salvation experience. I remember that. I should have written it down, perhaps. I didn't write it down. With Pastor Dale yesterday, he could tell you the day because he wrote it down. Others who are on there, they can tell. Paul Webb sent me a beautiful email yesterday. Paul Webb said, man, said, are you kidding me? I remember this is what I think Paul said. I don't remember the day, but boy, I remember this and I remember this and I remember this. And all I'm saying to you is you may have a mental ascension to being born again, but if you cannot in your life look at the point where it happened, I'd be like scoring a touchdown in a Super Bowl. You remember when it happened? I mean, can you point to it? It's right here with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. I got the ball and I ran. You would remember that forever. Man, yeah, I remember that feeling and that emotion. Wow. That happened to you? See, I'm not questioning. I'm trying to set you free. I'm trying to tell some of you, you have a mental ascension to being saved, a mental one. And you've walked it out and you've lived the Christian life. Okay, when were you born? Can you point back to that point when you were born? And I would say, if you can't, maybe you're never really born again. Maybe you made a decision for Christ. Maybe you put on Christ. Maybe you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know when you were born again? So, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not trying to judge anybody's Christianity or their depth. I'm not trying to do any of that. I'm just trying to say, listen, maybe you're not going deeper in your spiritual walk because maybe you were never born.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I think anyone who has accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I think that's being born again, is when you accept him as your Lord and he becomes your eventual Savior when you walk out being obedient to his Lordship.
Sure.
But so, Larry, there are too many people that want to accept him as Savior and don't even know about the Lordship part because the liars standing behind the pulpits haven't told them about the Lordship part.
Larry, are you married?
Yeah, I'm married.
You're married? When did that happen? I mean, Larry, was there a day you got married? Is there a day you can point to and say, yeah, right there, it's right there where I got married. Right there was it.
Okay, Dave, you can tell me your anniversary date when you got married. Tell me the date that you got born again. It's like we had this conversation.
I
had this conversation with Jim.
You're missing what I'm saying.
No, I hear exactly what you're saying, but you're saying it wrong. Because Jim Harrison was really upset about what you had said yesterday, but he talked to us, and another fellow and I were speaking with him. And mm-hmm. then it came about that he says, I don't know the day. I can't remember exactly everything. And we asked him, And he came through and he was talking through his life experience. And he said, then I said, there it is, Jim. You knew it all the time. That was your moment of being born again because the change took place. There's a change that happens in your life when you turn your life over to Jesus and say you're going to make him Lord. Now, most of us, I don't know, there may be some people who accomplish perfect obedience after they say, Jesus, be my Lord. But I haven't met any of them yet. I'm not one. I'm still struggling with letting him guide me instead of me taking hold of the steering wheel and steering my life at times. But the thing is, Jim knew when he was born again, he just didn't put his he couldn't put his finger on it until he went through the circumstances of what was the old him and what was the new him, and then he could delineate. He delineated the exact circumstance of when he changed. Now, if people can do that, they're probably born again. If people can't delineate where the change happened, or if there has been no change, then no, they're not born again.
Well, okay, so let me make this point, which I tried to make before, and which you just made and didn't even realize that you were making my point. Are you married, Larry? Yes. Do you remember the day? Yes. Do you have to know the exact day? No. Do you remember the experience? Yes. Yes, I remember that experience. Did you ever have a child? Yes. Sometimes I don't remember my children's birthday, but I remember them being born. I remember being in the delivery room when Zach popped out. I remember that. We put a date on it, but I remember that. And the point that I'm making is if folks have just had a mental ascension, I'm not questioning anybody's salvation. I'm trying to get people to understand that there's a deeper spiritual experience than what some of you are having. And the reason you're not having a deeper spiritual experience is because you've never really looked at a time and place in your life and said, boom, right there's where it happened. I don't care what date it is. I don't know what date it is. But I know I did get married. I know I did give birth to 3 children. I know of a great football plays that happened in my life. I know of a lot of things that happened. I don't know the date, but I know it happened. And I'm saying if you were born again of the Spirit of God, you ought to be able to say, boom, right there is when it was. I don't remember the date, but right there is when it happened. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Yeah, what you're saying is perfectly clear.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up again, George. Breaking up's hard to do, but you continue to do it. I'm just kidding. See, listen, here's my frustration, and you probably can tell I'm frustrated. I don't know why I can't make this more clear than what I'm saying. Watching right now, all of a sudden George is back. Eli's been talking for a minute. We couldn't hear him. Just a second, George.
Okay.
I'm not speaking. I'm trying to help people who are watching this show who don't have a deep spiritual experience. And I'm saying the reason that is because you have a mental ascension to being Lord and Savior, but you don't have it never really happened. It never really happened to you. I run into hundreds of people like that. They call themselves Christians, and they want to serve the Lord, and they go through the rigmarole religion, and they've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a date and a time. Do you have in your life, as you look at it, boy, bang, there's where it happened. That's what I'm talking about. Go, George.
Yeah, so today I think it's becoming very dangerous because most churches I've been in, they're watering it down even more where people are not understanding.
Yeah.
You know, the big mega church I used to go to, they got to the point where I walked out of there thinking if people thought if you just got baptized, they focused more on just getting people baptized. Mm-hmm. I know when I was saved, it was very clear what that meant. And so I get to what you're saying, Coach. Yeah, you can say it a lot of different ways, but it's very clear.
Here's the thing. Listen, if you're taking it personally, there's a reason. There's a reason if you're taking it personally. And I'm not trying to attack anybody. I have nobody in mind. I'm telling you, by the hundreds are listening to it, and some of them ain't born again. I'm just telling you. You guys, you go to church with them.
Hey, Coach, this is just a different lesson on lukewarm Christians. That's all it is.
Yes.
No one should get upset. We've heard it, heard it, heard it. It's the reality of people not changing.
Amen. And
if you don't change, you didn't get saved. That's the bottom line.
There you go. There you go. Who knows when it happened? I don't know the date. I can't tell you the date, but I know it happened to me. I can point to it. Let's move on to something else. Listen, folks, if you have any question, call out to the Lord. Say, Lord, just ask him, Lord, am I born again, Lord? I want to be born again, Lord. And so then you mark today as the day. And you don't have to go back and tell everybody, oh, by the way, I was serving the Lord for 12 years and I was never really saved. You know, just, that's all pride stuff. You want the Lord to fill you? Just say it. The Lord, hey, man.
The line's going to be black and white for Jesus. If it's lukewarm, you get spit in the lake of fire, period. That's how it works. You're either saved or you get spit into the lake of fire, or you're already there because you got sent first. You know?
Yeah. Okay. Great. Hey, listen. So here's really where I wanted to go this morning. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, Jared. Because Dale joined us. Hey, a little late getting in there this morning, Dale. George, did you get out of you everything that you wanted to get out of you? I think you did.
Coach, I was packing my car, but can I bring forth a little revelation that the Lord showed me about what you have been saying, and that is the relationship. So yesterday I was talking about when Jesus is on the cross.
Now you broke up. Got muted, Dale.
All right, here I am. I'm back. Am I there?
Yes.
Okay, so the thief says, remember me when you come into your Father's kingdom. Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise, paradio, the garden of pleasure. Now, in Luke, I believe it's Luke chapter, give me one second, Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, there's a key verse here where Jesus is talking to Zacchaeus, and you get down to verse 9, and he's talking to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is up in a tree. And Jesus says unto him, today salvation has come to this house. Salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save. This is where we throw in the wrong word. That which was lost. We always say those who were lost. Hmm. And the word is that. It's a noun. And a noun is either a person, place, or a thing. So the word that as a noun, is it a person? Yeah. No. Is it a place? No, it's a thing.
Hmm.
In Corinthians, he says he's given us the ministry of reconciliation, which is the restoration of something from old back to the original state. Jesus tells the thief on the cross, you're going to be with me in paradise. So the question is what was lost and where was it lost? You see, when God created man, he created man for the fellowship, the koinonia, the Greek word. And so when I look at this, the personal relationship. God walked with man in the garden, and Adam broke the fellowship through sin. God is restoring the relationship, the personal relationship, that which was lost. Does that make sense?
We
just want to go through the say a prayer type of thing, and it's not that at all. I know who the president of the United States is, but I can't go sit in his house and eat dinner with him. But if I was one of his kids, I could, because I have a personal relationship with him. I can know who Jesus is. The devils know who Jesus is.
Yes,
but if there's not that personal connection, then we're not part of the family.
Hey, man, I want to show you something just real quick, Mark, before you come in. Look at the next verse. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Huh? Boy, I could preach right there. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I was just thinking, if you had a football player on your team, but he practiced with the other team, and he comes back to your team and he practices with your team, but he always is over on the other team and you're his coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's fellowshipping with the wrong team. So the change that you're talking about comes about whenever you forsake the other team.
Right.
You got to stop. You got to stop following the other team. Otherwise, when Jesus looks at you, he's going to say, "Hey, you got the wrong playbook."
Amen.
You know that this isn't at all what we sent you down there to do. I mean, I don't know how else it could be clear. You got to turn. There has to be a turn. There has to be a change, a turn. Now it can be. I totally believe what your story is, what your message is, and we all go through the discernment of whether or not we've turned. You know, and
right. You
either know or you don't know. That's the bottom line. And if you don't know, you didn't make that turn.
That's right. So make it now. Just make it now. That's all I'm saying. Say, Lord, I've been following you for 12 years. And gee, I never really did. Lord, I receive you as my Savior. Change me now. That's what I said. I'm in 1 Corinthians 12. Because here's where I was really heading this morning. Yes. Let me ask you something. Why is this so contentious? Why is this discussion so contentious? You know, I'm just going to talk about me. I feel no conviction at all because I'm born again in the Spirit of God. I've no contention at all. But I know this, that there are those who are watching this show who are offended. And they're offended. If you're born again, why are you offended? I'm not trying to. When I started doing this yesterday, I didn't mean to offend anybody. I want to set you free. I don't want to be offended. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because here's the point. I'm 65. I've lost about 15 lbs, still out working out every day, praise the Lord. And I was out walking yesterday, listening on my headphones and thinking, I'm 65 years old. I heard myself say it to a guy last night, 65. Man, that's old, ain't it? 65 years old? I'm 65. My grandpa used to be 65. I'm 65. And I look at my life and say, how much I got left? What, 20 years? No, maybe. Do you want to even live 20? Maybe with what's coming down the road? Well, I got to live 20 more because I got my grandkids I have to worry about. I have to make sure that they're secure. The wise man passes an inheritance to his children's children. That's my job. But I was thinking, you know, what's my job right now as a Christian man in this time and this place and where we live? What's my job? What is my job? Is it just to get people saved? Is that what it is? Just to get them saved? Go get everybody saved? Well, okay, well, how does that, where does that start? And how do you do that? And where? And can you get them saved yourself anyway? You can't save anybody. Nobody comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. Who do you think you are telling people you're going to go out and get people saved? You can't do that. You go out and you share the truth. You share the gospel of the kingdom of God, and all who come will come. The Lord will draw those he draws. The Holy Spirit will draw those who draw. You don't get anybody saved. So that if I can't go out and get everybody saved, if that's not my goal to go out and get everybody saved, what if I just went out and advanced his kingdom? I just advanced his kingdom and his kingdom principles. What if I lived my life rather than trying to get everybody saved? I just advanced his kingdom principles. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it in earth as it is in heaven. What if I just did that, and what would that look like? And I contend that many people are sitting in the pews because they don't have any idea what that even looks like. If they were going to go to lift up the Lord and expand the gospel of the kingdom, they don't even know what that means. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of them don't know what it means because it ain't never happened to them. It's one of the points that I'm making. So ask yourself, wherever you are, what's your spiritual gift? What is it that you do? And I'm going to tell you this. I get a lot of people that tell me they love my gift. And you ought to read my Facebook page. I got a lot of people who don't love my gift. But it's my gift. And I'm not accountable to them. I'm not accountable to some 6-foot icicle standing in the pulpit. And I'm not accountable to some school superintendent. And I'm not accountable to Governor John Kasich. I'm accountable to the Lord for my gift. Do you guys know the parable of the talents? That you are going to be held accountable and responsible for what you did with the gift that was given to you. And I'm telling you this, two things. Number one, the average man has no idea what his gift is. And number two, has no idea what to do. Oh, he knows what to do with it in the business world, but he doesn't have any idea what to do with it in the spiritual world. And scripture says vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Yeah, Mark.
I'll throw one more out there. Most all gifts that we get, spiritual gifts that manifest in the material realm that we can use, can be used for good or evil.
Good point.
You got another level of responsibility. So I think, say, Adam, he had full gifts, and then his gifts were diminished or in some way taken away due to sin. But bottom line is, God wants to give us gifts so we can go do more glory. But think about it. He did that with Adam. Adam sinned, so he took it away. He did that with Noah. We sinned. He took us 90% of our life away. Now we can only live to be 100 because our gifts were too great. We did too much with them. So gifts are important, and they're the measure of your walk with God. If he's continuing to bless you and push you forward to advance his kingdom, and you're picking up new skills, where are they coming from? Now, if you're off on the path of doing evil, and you continue just to go down this path, and you lose your humanity like Zuckerberg and so forth, who are you serving, and what gifts are you getting?
Amen. So, Mark, those of us who are born again of the Spirit of God still have those same gifts. And what are we doing to exercise those gifts? See, what are we doing with those gifting? And see, now listen, I'm going to, Lord, okay, I'm going to say it, Lord. See, for the most part, an American Christianity, talk about American Christianity, because you do know that American Christianity is a different form, a different kind. American Christianity has all become all about getting people saved. And I don't think that's the gospel around the world. I don't think the people whose lives are under attack in South Africa, Christians under attack in South Africa, I don't think they're concerned about getting people saved at that point. I think they're probably, we should all be concerned with expanding the kingdom, living out the kingdom here on earth, in earth. Specifically, it says that. And so people are, because we've got such a salvation mentality in America, we're missing the bigger picture of what we're supposed to be doing. Sometimes you can help somebody without getting them saved. Sometimes that expands the kingdom as well. So your spiritual gifts. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I would not have you ignorant. So you can be ignorant. No, you know that you were Gentiles, unsaved, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Look at that. Carried away as you were led. Still being carried away as we're led today. Wherefore I give to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. That's the point Larry made. Savior, Lord. Lord is more important than Savior. I'm just going to say that again. Lord is more important than Savior. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations or the way it works, but it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh in all of them. Oh, hang on. Thank you, Lord. Whew, I felt that one. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Everybody profits by the gift given to every man. For to one's given the spirit of word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So much for the tongues thing, right? That's not alive in the church anymore, though. But all these worketh that one in the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For the body is one, has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body. So also is Christ, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. There it is again, one body, one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be free or bond or free, we have been all made to drink one Spirit. For the body's not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, is it not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, then where would the hearing be? If the whole we're hearing, where would the smelling be? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased him. And if there were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members? One body. The eye cannot say, I could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And on. And here's what I think is handicapping the American Christian, thinking how to say this, church. And I'm talking to me first. We don't recognize our gift as a gift from God. We don't recognize it as that. And we have a tendency to think it's my gift, so therefore it's my gift. I'm going to express it, and my gift is going to be first and foremost. This is the most important. Abortion is the most important issue. No, 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 no. Child predators, that's the most important issue. No, 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 no. That's not what it is. Not eating pork, that's the most important issue. I'm just using examples here, right? I'm just using an example. And so because we get focused on one area, we're constantly trying to call attention to our part of the body. Our part of the body. And here's the truth. Just a second, George. Here's the truth. I'm doing my call whether Roger approves of it or not. Whether Larry approves of it or not. I don't answer to Larry. I don't answer to Roger. I don't answer to George. I don't answer to Nick. I answer to the Lord. Now, I take counseling from everybody. I hear what everybody says. But see, here's what it is. Most of you have not even recognized your gift and your ability to do it because you're always looking for somebody else to give you approval in what you're doing. Hey, dude, go do it. Go plow. Just go plow with your gift. But we don't even taught you have them. The pastors have the gift. The guys up on the platform have the gift. And as a result, we're partially paralyzed. Bob, go ahead.
Not only that, Coach, remember, this is the vanity, nothing new under the sun. Here's James and John. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? What about this man, Peter, over here? He called him the sons of thunder, and that wasn't good. Listen, I've been there where, you know, I've sat underneath preaching. So when I became a senior pastor, I found myself trying to preach like that, my predecessor. And brother, that's part of the problem. We're trying to cause the lump of clay tell the potter to mold me and make me like Coach Dave, or mold me and make me like Larry or George, where God says, I am the potter. You are the lump of clay, and I will fashion you the way I fashion you. We don't have to be somebody else. We can follow somebody else, but God has uniquely designed us with a gift.
And don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget this. The gift will make way. The gift will make way for itself. When you have a gift, if you have a gift and you quit trying to make sure that everybody recognizes your gift, I'm not accusing anybody. Quit. Don't get mad. Always wanting everybody to recognize your gift. This is the most important one. This is the most important one. Well, your gift's going to make way for it, right? Mm-hmm. So you exercise your gift, whether everybody's applauding you and noticing you or not. You do what you're supposed to do, because ultimately you're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to give an account for how you use the gift, not whether or not everybody else approved of it, not whether everybody else thought it was important. Did you faithfully go out and continue to try to exercise your gift? That's the measuring. Faithful men, that's what the Lord's looking for. Not successful men, not important men, not adored men, faithful men. And sometimes being faithful, because it isn't easy. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Roger. I'm sorry.
I give it as a quick testimony on that. I enjoy teaching, and I don't know if it's a gift, but I enjoy it. And some say I'm good with teenagers. And I can remember starting about 6 or 7, 8 years ago, just being an assistant. And I didn't promote myself. I didn't do anything. But for some reason, God kept on expanding my ability to teach teenagers to where I eventually taught the class. And that may not be a big deal for anybody in the huddle, but for me, I enjoyed it. I thought I was good at it.
It's your gift.
But it was cut. Now it's been removed. But I'm really very much at peace, because I think He's going to open something else up. And that's my personal testimony to what you have just said. If we will rely on our gift and not do so much self-promotion, that gift will find its way out.
We are looking, all of us, me too, all right? All of us. We are looking for the affirmation of men. And listen, folks, men are fickle. We all want to be recognized. We all want to be important. We all want whatever our issue is to be first and foremost, because we believe In our heart, it is first and foremost. And dude, work it like it's first and foremost. But don't expect me to come belly flopping in there with you. If you are waiting for me to give approval to your gift, man, have you ever got it upside down? Often I'll go places and do stuff. When I come home, I've told you this before. Michelle said, how did it go? And I'll say, I don't know. I just went. I just went and did what I was supposed to do. I didn't get applause. I didn't go for any of it. So listen, the greatest work is done underground. Nobody sees it. The Lord does. Are you? See, you can suck on your thumb. Why does everybody always pick them? Nobody appreciates me. You can do that. The Lord's watching your faithfulness to your gift, not the public affirmation of it. And that causes contention and jealousy.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You ever put your hat on with your foot?
When I was younger, I couldn't get my foot up there. Now, Mark,
yeah. So we're all different, and everybody wants attention, so to speak. Yeah. You know, in this way to make sure their gift's being absorbed and consumed. But you know what? Whenever somebody smashes their finger gets a lot of attention. You know, so I think we're all a little bit that way. Whenever we find the niche in our gifts, you know, we really get excited and we want to get that information out. So yep. I think you're dead on, and we're all the same body. We all got the same spirit blood flowing through us, and we just need to work together more. And I think that is one of the benefits of your ministry. You get all these diverse churches and none of them side by side talk to one another. And right. Here we are spread across the country coming together and meeting and getting stuff done. So we're actually getting to see everyone's capabilities, see everyone's gifts.
Amen. And,
I think you've given us a platform to share our gifts with others so that others can learn our gifts and then utilize us, you know?
Amen. Okay, so Mark, what a great lead off into something I want to share with you, right? Jared, pull up there. It says Trump's remarks. I don't know if you guys saw this. President Trump, I'm talking about gifts. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about gifts. All right? President Trump had a bunch of evangelicals in for dinner the other night. No, I didn't get invited. He must not appreciate my ministry. If he only knew, maybe the Lord hasn't moved on your ministry because he's looking at your heart. And your heart, see, thank you, Lord. Your gift will take you where your character cannot keep you. I'll say it again. Some of you want to go where you ain't ready to go. Remarks by President Trump at dinner with the evangelical leaders. Somebody take this. Probably shouldn't have. If it was Trump, no press, nobody. He's got 150 evangelical leaders in there. And President Trump is basically asking these guys, the hell's wrong with you guys? Basically, can you stay with me here a second? Huh? Because listen, guys, girls, folks, we are put here, believe it or not, to impact this natural world. If it's just about salvation and going to heaven, then we ought to already, what do I be here? No, you're the salt of the earth. He put you here to impact and influence this natural world. I'm going to say that again. Your giftings and callings, which are irrevocable, are to impact this natural world, to occupy till he comes, to earnestly contend for the faith. Where? Earnestly contend for it? Where? Well, everywhere that it's under attack, earnestly contend for it. Not sit around and say, well, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. I'm not going to fight for it anymore because it's the Lord's will. I read it in the Bible. That's the Lord's will. Really? It's a president. Hey, yeah.
You know, Coach, what you're talking about, what we as Christians, we don't have a very good revelation of what the kingdom is. And
that's it,
the kingdom, when we understand the kingdom, it's easy to understand how your gifts fit in, because I think that's what Donald Trump was asking, is why the hell don't you understand the kingdom?
Amen.
You guys are a bunch of religious people doing nothing, and you're not building the kingdom.
Judge President the Trump. Kingdom,
Coach, the kingdom has to do with government. It says the government should be upon his shoulders. And so that's what it's all about. The church is just the spiritual, it's to hold the government spiritually accountable and to be their moral compass.
Can you think of anything more glorifying in your life than to be standing on a street corner holding up a stop abortion sign and somebody drives by and kills you? Can you imagine anything more glorious than that, as opposed to having a heart attack and dropping over dead on the golf course or in church?
And Coach, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. It's not our responsibility to build the church. He's building the church. The kingdom is bigger than the church. Amen.
We got to advance the kingdom. Advance it. Do something to advance it. Here and now. So President Trump, he's speaking to all these evangelicals. What a nice group. Thank you very much. I'm not going to try to mock him. Melania and I are thrilled to welcome you, and these are some very special friends, yada yada, evangelical pastors. Let's go. I'm going to go fast. Today we reached the highest level in the history of the stock market. We broke 26,000. Everybody applause. I want to thank the family of faith. It's truly a blessing to our nation. I want to thank Vice President Pence, Karen Pence, where are you, Mike, blah, 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 and our incredible First Lady, yada, yada, yada. Okay, listen, this is Donald Trump. America is a nation of leaders. Folks, this was leaked, okay? This was not for public. This is for those 150 guys in there. This wasn't Trump out there trying to show off what a great Christian he is. America is a nation of believers. Tonight we're joined by faith leaders from across the country who believe in the dignity of life, the glory of God, and the power of prayer. Does everybody agree with that? Now you say, well, he didn't write that. See, I'm talking about one of the greatest problems we have is Christian men and Christian leaders who cannot understand what God is doing through Donald Trump. They still don't like him. They still don't like him. Oh, yeah, he grabbed a woman's pee 50 years ago. Yeah, well, are we all open for public inspection of our past? If you didn't, we'd have a big story when we're going. But I want to say that he said a bunch of thank yous to people, blah, 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 blah. I understand that tonight is 50th. Somebody next to me. Dr. Dobson's there. Thank you, Dr. Dobson. Thank you. We're joined by these people. Blah, 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 blah. But before going any further, I want to send our prayers and condolences to the victims of the traffic shooting in Jacksonville. It's a terrible thing, and how it happens, nobody really knows. But they've done an incredible job in Jacksonville, and they always do in Florida and throughout the country. But condolences. Also, our hearts go out to John McCain. Go on, next one. We're here this evening to celebrate America's heritage of faith. Donald Trump speaking to 150 leaders who, truth be told, probably don't even get along. Each one of them thinking their ministry is more important than anybody else's ministry. Somebody say amen. You don't have to. I just know it, right? All those bigwigs in there, all of them thinking they're the cat's meow.
Amen.
As you know, in recent years, the government tried to undermine religious freedom, but the attacks on communities of faith are over. You never Trumpers, you blind guys. We've ended it. Unlike some before us, we are protecting your religious liberty. Yes.
Coach, I was just going to say it's pride. You know, these people who don't, not only is it that they don't want to give Trump credit, but it seems to me they're callous to the work that God is most certainly doing in Trump's heart.
They can't see it. I wonder. No, I'm going to say it. Are they born again? I even wonder. Some of them. Let me go on. Well, that'll be on Right Wing Watch. In the last 18 months, we have stopped the Johnson Amendment from interfering with the First Amendment rights. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Now, I don't think they have. I think he wants to. But can I tell you, those guys in the room, they don't want the Johnson Amendment gone. They don't want to talk about political issues. No, don't do that. Please don't set us free to do that. We've taken action to defend the religious conscience of doctors, nurses, teachers, students, preachers, faith groups, religious employees. We sent the executive branch guidance on protecting religious liberty. It's a big deal. Brought the Faith and Opportunity Initiative to the White House. We reinstated the Mexico City policy. It was first put into place. And if you studied it, and most of you know about it, the first under President Reagan, and not since then, the Mexico policy. He's reestablished it, not given tax dollars to fund abortions overseas. My administration has strongly spoken out against religious persecution around the world, including persecution of Christians all over the world. What's going on? And for that, we become not only a strong voice, but a very, very powerful voice. We're stopping a lot of bad things from happening. Two Christians, he should have said. We brought home hostages from North Korea, including an American pastor, and we're fighting to release Pastor Brunson from Turkey. And we've recognized the capital of Israel and opened the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. We're restoring opportunity for all Americans, African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans. Unemployment recently achieved the lowest rates ever recorded in history. And women's unemployment recently reached its lowest level in 65 years. Yes, he's throwing some politics in. Stay with me. Very important to me. Youth unemployment's reached its lowest level in 50 years. And unemployment for Americans without a high school diploma, think of that, has reached its lowest ever. We're advancing prison reform to give former inmates a second chance. And these incredible unemployment numbers are probably the greatest thing that's happened to people getting out and wanting a second, sometimes a third chance, but they're coming out of prison and they're not hired and bad things would happen. And they go back and now they're coming out of prison. They're getting jobs. We're working with them and we're very thankful. And I'll tell you who else is thankful. The employers. I have a friend who hired a bunch of employers, blah, blah, blah. Next one. Every day we're standing for religious believers because we know that faith and family, not government and bureaucracy, are the center of American life. And we know that freedom is a gift from our Creator. This is unbelievable. And here in a state dining room carved in the fireplace, the famous prayer, John Adams, I pray heaven to bestow the blessings, best blessings on this house. It's an incredible house. It means so much. It means so much to our country. It means so much to the world. And it means really so much to religion and to Christians. So it's an honor to have you here. Together, we lift up our nation in prayer. We defend the sanctity of life and forever proudly remain one nation under God. Christians hate him. There are Christians who hate this man. So thank you all, my friends, all support you give me. Hang on a second. And now I'd like to ask, hang on, going down. I see, is it? Let me piggyback on this, Jared, real quickly. Go ahead, George. I think it was George. Whoever's tried to come in there.
Hey, Coach.
Yes,
man,
George.
Man, as you're reading that, Coach.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's a shame that he didn't have people like you, like Pastor Dale, Pastor Charles. I mean, I could go on, because you know he's got people like Kenneth Copeland, who, if you study it, is a 33-degree Mason. You look at his ministry. These people will no more get what Donald Trump is saying. He might as well have been talking to a room of wet.
Yes. Well, okay. Hey, Jared, pull up the one that says, the one right above Trump's remarks, NBC News one. In a closed-door meeting. This gets leaked in a closed-door meeting. Slide on down. I got to find this stuff. Boy, here's what Trump tells them. He says this, in fact, right there, the level of hatred, start right there. Here's what Trump told his audience, he said, the level of hatred, the level of anger is unbelievable, he said. Part of it's because of the same things I've done for you and for me and for my family, but I've done them. And this November 6th election is very much a referendum, not only on me. It's a referendum on your religion, he said. It's a referendum on free speech and the First Amendment. He says if the GOP loses, they will overturn everything that we've done, and they'll do it quickly and violently. And violently, he said, there's violence. When you look at Antifa and you look at some of the groups, these are violent people. Here's what President Trump is saying to religious leaders. Will you get off your butts and get engaged? Will you get engaged? Don't you understand the enemy? If the enemy seizes control again, do you have any idea what's going to come down on this nation? That's the question he's asking. And do they? Do they? No! Still no unity in the body of Christ. Still no unity in Christianity. Still none. I know several pastors who continue to speak evil against Donald Trump, who got some skeletons in their own closets as well, I believe. Say, Coach, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Your gift is for now. It is for, you're only here now. Your gift is for now. And if you are not born again and filled with the Spirit of God, you are going to be unequal to your gift. You can't do it without him. And dare I say this, he won't do it without you. All right, come on in here. Somebody call. I got so
Coach, how about a testimony?
All right.
talking to a pastor here who did not vote for Donald Trump. Matter of fact, not only did I not vote for him, I was a delegate for somebody else. All right. I'm telling you, I humbled myself to see what this man has done for this country. He's not perfect. But, brother, we look at even the kings in the Old Testament. And when Nehemiah went to the king, look how the king opened up the door because his heart was softened to the things of the Lord, and the Lord used him mightily. I look at Donald Trump, and I'm like, he's the best thing to Christianity in this nation. And I say farther than what Ronald Reagan ever brought for us, that's for sure. But these men are like James and John, sons of thunder. They think it's about them. And I'm like, man, you know what? I would vote for Donald Trump in a heartbeat tomorrow.
And here's the point, Dale. He ain't against us. He ain't against us. And we're still not smart enough to see that. See, listen, folks, Donald Trump is not going to turn this country around. Donald Trump isn't going to do it. It's going to be men and women of God who come out of their comfort zones and use their God-given gifts and talents. And I'm going to tell you, you will be held accountable for how you use your gift in this time and in this place. And I am for everybody in this huddle. I'm for every gift that you have. I'm for every ministry that you're trying to do. I'm for all of it. But listen, your gift and your ministry doesn't need my approval, because I know people say, well, gee, Minnie, if Coach would just give a little bit more attention. Hey, fellas, the Holy Spirit will give the attention that's needed if you faithfully continue to slug it through. Yes, we wish somebody, why won't Sean Hannity recognize me and give me a platform? Huh? Don't they know? How come Rush Limbaugh doesn't call me? Well, it don't stop me from doing what I'm trying to do.
All I need to do is go to Philippians 4:13. You know me, Coach. You've talked to me. I'm a versatile player. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, brother.
Most people can't do anything through Christ.
Amen.
You had a mic drop moment there, Coach, when you said, God won't, he won't do it without you. And it's not that he won't get things done. It's he won't use you to do it without you submitting to his lordship.
That's right. And see, Amen. You know why? You know why you can't submit to his lordship? Because you're afraid. And why are you afraid? Because you got too much pride. You're worried about what people are going to say about you. You have this misunderstanding of little old me. How could God ever use little old me? I don't know how he could. I know this. He ain't going to use you sitting in the pew, and he ain't going to use you sitting on your couch. You're going to have to do something to exercise that gift. I don't know whether it's writing. I don't know whether it's speaking. I don't know whether it's ministering to the sick. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to tell you this. 95%, I made up that number, 95% of Christians ain't got any idea what their gift is, and they have no interest in using it.
They lack the Fonzie moment. Remember Fonzie? The one thing Fonzie could never do? I'm wrong.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, let me give you a good example. I think what we're talking about. Yesterday, Alan and I and two other guys were at the abortion clinic, but Alan and I were talking. There were four of us there. And we both talked about how many people use the cop-out. Well, I'm just not called to be down here. Yeah, so Alan said, if you draw that argument out, okay, to its conclusion, we must conclude that it's God's fault because he didn't call people. So really, it's God's fault that we still have abortion.
Yeah, self-aware.
What a cop.
Yeah, that's right. Very, very good point, right? Ultimately blaming God. And you know what it is, Larry? I'm going to tell you this. We have made him Lord of our life. See, when he's Lord, he tells you where to go and what to do, and you obey when he's Lord. If he's Savior, maybe not so much. Maybe not so much. And so a lot of people have received him as their Savior, but as Larry said, haven't received him as Lord. Hey, guys, it's time. Right now, it's time. That's what Trump just said. Don't you guys understand that if the Democrats win the House in November, all of this stuff's going to go away? Don't you guys? We don't understand that. You say, well, Coach, politics is dirty and I'm a spiritual man and I'm not going to be stained by the world. Really? Well, listen, I'm going to stain the world. That's
right. And that's why we're in the mess we're in today.
I ain't going to be stained by the world. I'm going to stain the world. I'm going to salt the earth. That's what I'm going to do.
Amen, Coach.
Amen.
I'm not going to be
stained. Amen, Coach. Amen. Keep preaching, brother.
I want to piggyback on what George said. I tell you, there's those out there that know that things need to be done. They know that it's a good thing that needs to be done. And the Word of God says that if you know what needs to be done and you don't do it, it is sin. So stop using this excuse of God hasn't given me a roadmap and told me what highway to take to help go do that good thing yet. If it's a good thing and you're not doing it, you're sinning. And I didn't say that. The Word of God said that.
So if I'm driving down the road and I see a motorcycle flip in front of me and some guy's laying there bleeding, I'm going to say, hey, dude, I'd love to help you, but I wasn't called to be a paramedic. God didn't call me to do that. I'll drive on down the road, and whoever the Lord called to be a paramedic, he'll come along and help you. What is wrong with us? The equipping of the Holy Spirit, through your obedience, the Holy Spirit will equip you. Now, he may equip you and gift you in a way that you don't even know you're gifted for that specific time and moment and place that you find yourself in. But you got to do it, man. You can't. What? Lord, is that you calling me? What are you calling me to do, Lord? I'll sit here. All right. Sit here and pray. Okay, Lord, I'll sit here and pray. For the rapture, Lord, should I pray that the rapture come and get us all out of here? Okay. Let me know if you need me to do anything. Call me. Crazy.
But, you know, Coach, you know, if you're seeking the Lord's will, I mean, honestly, earnestly seeking the Lord's will, okay, the Holy Spirit will lay it on your heart. He'll give you your mission. You know, we're all commissioned. You know, in Matthew, Jesus said, you know, listen, I've been given all authority under heaven and earth. You go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you always.
So who made dealing with politics and cultural issues, who made that a dirty thing? Who said that's unholy and unrighteous? Don't do that. When Jesus said, occupy till I return, what was he talking about? Occupying your seat, occupying the church, occupy till I come. Earnestly contend for the faith, because evil men have crept in and unawares. What is he talking about? What is he talking about? This is not hard. It's scary, but it's not hard.
Glenn, say what you said again, please.
In Matthew 28, verse 18, it says Jesus came. This is at the end. Okay, he's getting ready to leave. Okay, this earth, and he says to the 11 disciples. Okay, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, meaning you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
So there it is.
So the difference is this: you have to listen. When I started doing street evangelism, I had fears. I felt like, Lord, I'm going to be tongue-tied when I don't know what to say, you know. But you have to step out and you know what? The Lord will work through you. I am constantly amazed. I feel like, and I realize I'm just the paper boy. I'm just delivering the message. God does the rest. Amen. But you have to be willing to, you know, we all have false emotions that appear real, right? Fear. You just have to be willing to step out, take a risk, be a risk taker. And hey, what does Dave Janda say? Dare to fail. Dare to fail.
Don't let those who have never done it tell you how to do it. Go ahead, George.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Just real quick. I call to go rescue Christians that are being eaten by the. That's crazy, isn't it? People are probably thinking that's stupid. But here's the deal. It's like Martin Luther said, your call, I guarantee you, is going to be based upon the evil. So that's what we're called to do. If there's abortion to fight, we're called to fight abortion government. We're called to fight that corrupt government.
Whatever he says unto you, do it, baby. Do it. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow from Austin, Texas.